Well, this has been an interesting year for me. I learned a lot last year. I learned that preaching is the easiest part about pastoring, and that pastoring people, that's got some difficulties with me and with them, you know? And it's been a beautiful year, and I'm honored, by the way, to get to preach the first message of 2024 to you guys. I'm like, right on, God. But I felt like the Lord really wanted to talk about, you know, keeping our house clean. Cleaning our house and keeping it clean. You know, one of the things that I love about the Lord is His faithfulness in our sanctification. His faithfulness using people, places, and things to sanctify us, meaning to cut away from the world, away from us, and allow the Holy Spirit, being obedient to His word, to live such a life that we bring honor to God and we honor each other. So as we begin another year, I imagine that each one of us has reflected on last year. You and I had some victories and some failures, good and not so good situations of life that change our life for the better, or sometimes at least seemingly for the worst. God never promised us easy. He promised us victory. You may ask yourself, what is God's will for my life in 2024? How can I live in such a way that God becomes greater in my life in 2024? How can I finally ditch this habitual sin or this pet sin that I can't seem to get rid of? How do I ditch it in 2024? I'm stuck. Or what's my purpose here on earth, or in His kingdom? What's my purpose in God's family? Unfortunately for us, we are bombarded with the ideas of this culture. The spirit of the age is the spirit of the devil himself. Focused on self, egomaniacs with insecurity complexes, self-absorption, and a godless mind. That is where Satan wants you, and that's where he wants me. Today I would like to talk about keeping our minds or our rooms clean. We are instructed to do so. It is inventory, if you will, using scripture. Cleaning our house and keeping it clean, even while living in the belly of the beast. It is 2024, church. There is no time like the present to start. So let's get started. Amen. Our main text is going to be out of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. If you're taking notes, I am going to throw some scripture at you today. So it's good that you're taking notes. But our main text is going to be out of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read that right now. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. So I want to start today because we have to stop at the first word. And I want to do that because when you're studying your Bible, when you see therefore, I want you to make sure you know what came before it. Because therefore is a bridge that bridges what was said before with what's about to be said. And I'm going to package that for you today in chapters 1 through 11, because Paul was writing the Roman church, which is mainly a Gentile church, so this is really relevant for us. But it's a magnificent book. And I know the men studied this book this year, so I'm absolutely stoked. And I've watched at least the ones that were consistent in studying Romans. I have seen a change in every man. I've seen it. They're more confident. They're more confident in the word. They're more confident in the gospel and what it means. Because, hey, if you don't fully understand the cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection, you're like a lot of other people that don't completely grasp. I don't completely grasp it. But it's the truth. Jesus Christ came. He is the Word made flesh, spoke into a virgin, born of a virgin. That gives him different DNA than us. He's still a man, but he's fully God. You see, I've got the DNA of my mom and my dad. So does Jesus. God the Father, Mary. He lived a sinless life in thought, word, and deed. 33 years he was alive. That's all, I think Pastor Joe preached about this. That's all walks of life. A child, a teenager, and an adult. He lived it without sinning against God or anybody else. How do we know that that is true? Because when Jesus Christ was crucified and died on the cross, they buried him for 3 days and he resurrected from the dead. People wrote that down. They saw him. There was witnesses that they saw the risen Christ. And even though it's, you know, much, much later down the road in time, it's still true. That is still the gospel of Jesus Christ. His life, his perfect life, traded for mine. My sin-soaked, selfish life has been traded with a perfect one. Amen? So that's basically chapters 1 through 11, right? We're all depraved. There is no one righteous, not one. Even your sweet little grandma. Even that little sweet little baby that was crying, he just sinned. He was crying in church. No. But he's got sin in him. We're born into sin. Even that sweet, innocent baby, the sinner. We need Jesus. And Romans talks about that. So chapters 1 through 11 are doctrine. Chapters 5 through 16 are duty. 1 through 11 is instruction. 5 through 16 is application. So that's the transition that's happening now. He lays out a thick, radical doctrine in 11 chapters about the state of our affairs and the goodness of God. Therefore, I urge you, knowing what we know, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, the same mercies that were laid out in chapters 1 through 11, those mercies I urge you to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That is kind of an Old Testament to present, you know, to present the sacrifice. If we were still doing it the old way, I'd be up here slaying an animal, you know, spilling blood. And it was gnarly back then. But there had to have been a payment. You see, God is just because he took care of sin. There was a payment that was paid for the sin of man. And he poured out his wrath on his son Jesus, the perfect one. He got the wrath. We got the blessing. And because of that, those mercies, present your body as a living sacrifice, not a dead one. See, they had to kill the sacrifices. Now, there's no more death. One death, once and for all. Jesus Christ died for all of us. No more death sacrifices. Now, God says, I live in you. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I've filled you with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are the temple that I live in, says the Lord. That being said, Paul is driving this home to the church that you remember that you're the temple, that you remember, like, how grateful are you even grateful that God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, wants to live in us, like chose to touch my heart in such a way that He would change my heart, my dead heart, my selfish heart, my sinful heart, to a heart that understands the Word of God. And it's only by His Spirit that I understand, or you understand God. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to be thankful for. That's something that we should not take lightly. Not in a legalistic way, but let's be truthful. I know I didn't deserve it. Did you? In our sinful worst state, Jesus Christ died for you in that moment. So you could have a relationship with God the Father. That is something. That is something. There is a call there. There's a responsibility there for me now. Because I've been chosen. Do you know how many people out there haven't? The Word of God means nothing to them. In fact, they are proudly call themselves atheists. They proudly call themselves agnostics. They're proud of their sin and their pride. It's the spirit of the age. Spirit of the age is get all you can, put it in a can, sit on the can, right? Don't trust nobody. What's their angle? Don't be generous. You ain't got enough. That's the spirit of the age. It says that it is our spiritual service of worship in this, the New American Standard. But other versions, especially the King James, says it's your reasonable worship. You see that we have such a revelation that the living God who created everything lives in us. Reasonable, lives in me. I'll just give myself an example. He lives in me, so it's reasonable. It's a reasonable a form of worship, service of worship, for me to lay my life down, for me to set my life apart. You told me to be holy and set apart, God, so I know that I have a responsibility here. To live my life in such a way that I don't just do everything I want to do. I don't just say everything I want to say. I don't just watch whatever I want to watch or listen to whatever I want to listen to. I have accountability now. Jesus Christ died for me. He filled me with His Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. There's grace, tons of grace. We know about grace at this church. I love this about this church, where you come as you are. No judgment, come as you are. But what I also love about this church is that we live in the truth. We stay in the truth. The Word of God, this is infallible. I mean, it will not fail you. It is inerrant. I mean, there is no error in here. And if you doubt that, there is no condemnation. I've been there. But it just means that you need to get in here and dig with God. Find Him. He is in this book. He is in Jesus Christ was the Word became flesh. The Word of God. Never failing. Never in error. So, now that we know that we're called to be a living sacrifice, a living example of the temple of God. I have to give you a practical way of what are you even talking about, Pastor Chris? Because that's, you know, we all got our own perceptions. Well, I thought I would just give a practical list today that we can take with us. First, protect what you see. These are gates. Your eyes and your ears are gates, and you are the gatekeeper. We can't stop everything that we see. We can't control people, places, and things, but we can control what we allow our eyes to gaze on. Okay? And I use this scripture in Proverbs 17:24. The discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. And I use this scripture because, see, I could talk about porn again. What you know, don't watch porn, guys. It's bad. Sexual immorality is just going to lead to death. It might not seem like it's wrecking your relationships, but it is. And it's not of God. And if you're locked into that, you know, there's consequences. I wanted to use the scripture to go beyond that, because that's like easy, right? We talk about that all the time. The discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. The eyes of a fool concentrate only on the here and now. What's going on? How can I do this? How can I make more money? This is what I need to. A fool lives their life without intentionally investing in eternity, without an eternal mindset. Because here's the thing. We're here. We are here in this world. So, therefore, I mean, we're called to be the best employees, the best bosses, the best, you know, owners of this and that. We're supposed to be generous and nice and joyful and easy to work with. So we should take care of our families. That's important. I'm not saying we don't go to work, we don't do this, we don't do that. But if you think that life is about grinding it out Monday through Friday and paying all your bills on time, you are missing it, and you have to be miserable. If that's what life's all about, you get me out of here now. But it's not. You know it's not. I know it's not. It's about relationships. It's about growing in God. Do you know that he desires for us to enjoy him? That's the purpose of life. You want to know what your purpose is? To enjoy God and enjoy each other. Enjoy this planet. And live a fruitful life of love and forgiveness in the light of the Holy One and the truth. Easier said than done, right? Why? Because we're being blasted by the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age keeps, you know, here's the ideas, here's what's going on. And you know what? You know what, I'm convinced. I know there's good things on the internet, guys, right? I listen to sermons and stuff like that. But for the most part, the internet is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the very tree that God said, don't eat that. Don't eat that. You don't need to know about all that. Don't eat it. But it looks good. It's interesting. It's kind of weird. You know, it's like a train wreck. I mean, like, I gotta look. You know, what do you mean don't eat it? Don't eat it. Do you notice for those that spend a lot of time on the internet, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with the government or this or that, or you notice that you have anxiety, fear? Because I notice. I talk about balance in this church a lot because I know the realistic, we're going to keep it real today. For me, I don't watch TV anymore. I mean, I'll sit down and watch a movie with my wife every once in a while, but I choose not to because I've noticed that it clutters my mind. And I really want to be sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to the things of God. I want Him to be able to speak to me and me hear it, you know? And if I have my mind clouded with things, it's harder to hear Him for me. So I choose not to. Now, I understand for those that do watch TV. I get it. Balance. Balance. If you're one of these people, 10 seasons. Oh, I got something to do for the next couple weeks. 10 seasons of this, baby. Woo! I understand. I've watched 10 seasons before. And I've been excited about it. But can you imagine if you spent that time, as much time as you sit there watching those seasons, if you spent that time in the Word? Can you just imagine what your life would be like? I know, but I don't really understand the Word, man. You know, I get that too, guys. Listen, it's a discipline. It's, we have been saturated in the spirit of the age. It doesn't surprise me that this is hard to read. It was hard to read for me for many years. But I knew I needed to do it, right? You just keep plugging at it. You grow in Christ. The Word changes us. It renews our mind like the Scripture says. And we begin to want and desire to look at different things. It's the only way you're going to stop looking at what you're looking at. If you're looking at something you ain't supposed to be looking at. So let's move to the next one. Protect what you hear. This is the other gate. Very important. Another thing, really, balance. I really don't listen to that much punk rock anymore because I just love worship. Again, I'd rather be in a state of worship even if I'm distracted. I just would rather have worship on. But I work construction, right? And my guys don't want to listen to worship while they work. So we'll put on punk rock or whatever, but I can tell. Like I get a little bit more. Affects me. And I'm only saying this so we can be conscious of it, right? Balance. If you still like punk rock, right on. Whatever. But balance. Balance. If you enjoy, 10 seasons, balance. You know what I mean? Watch a few. Get into the Word. Just have the Word. Study the Word. Part of your get down, part of your life. Make it becomes part of my routine. So that, because I like to surf. That's, I wouldn't say that gets me any spiritually closer, even though I think it's a spiritual sport. It's surfing. Neither here nor there. Netflix, neither here nor there, unless, those agendas. Be careful. You got agendas in those stories. So be careful, be aware, but balance, I understand you want to relax. I understand that the Word of God causes a fight. It's work. It's working out your spirit. And it takes discipline because your flesh is like, no, he ain't going, you're not going to work out again, are you? Don't do it. Look at that book. It's so thick. And the writing's so small. You're just going to get confused. Don't even start. What was that show again? It was on Netflix. You got to fight against that. At some level, really. It's 2024. I'm not going to do things like 2023. I'm going to do things different. I'm going to do things different. That's what I'm trying to spark in us today. It is a new year. Let's not just slide into this new year and do the same stuff we did last year. Let's at least be conscious and make some changes and good decisions. All walks. Everybody's in a different place with God right now. But he knows you're right where you're supposed to be. But he loves you so much, he don't want to leave you or me where we're at. Glory to glory and faith to faith. Here we go. Amen. So what are you listening to? I use this scripture in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is why I tell you to be careful who you listen to while you're at home. That TV in your room is a prophet box, I call it. That your phone is a little prophet, but it's prophesying, it's preaching to you something. Be careful what you allow in your ears. Because the spirit of the age takes the word and will twist it. Will get you to go, you know what? That was written so long ago and we're like evolving, you know, and we need to grow. And it's like, it's good, but not all of it's relevant. It's 2024. And I know that there's some people in this room that if you got down to it, if you got really honest, that's what you think. No, I believe most of it, but not all of it. And I think that's where you're hung up. It's when you understand that this has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's books. See, we read books and we believe the guy that wrote it just because it was written by a guy. We believe it. History and all that stuff. We believe it. Guy wrote it, smart, got degrees, okay. I believe it. But yet, we're like, oh yeah, well, men wrote that. So, you know, it's flawed. Men are flawed. But men and women that are influenced and filled, which means influenced by the Holy Spirit, that's God. I mean, most of the words that I'm speaking today aren't here on this page. God is speaking today. You know, God is speaking. I've studied, yes. But you aren't going to get a word from me today behind this pulpit that isn't from God, that won't bring you life, that isn't the truth. He's in control. And he was in control when these words were written. And there is no error, no failure. This word will never fail you. I do promise you that, but it's not me that promised. God promised you that. Protect what you say. Oh, help me, Jesus. Be intentional about what you allow to come out of your mouth. Me and a brother were just praying this morning. Help us, Lord. Here's the beautiful thing about that. And I'll read the proverb first. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it, who love the power in the tongue. I love that my words can bring life. I love that my words can bring healing. I love that my words can bring breakthrough. I love that my words can bring peace, even when there's turmoil. Love in word brings forth healing. Brings forth life. So, What the Bible's telling us is to protect what we say. That the words that come out of your mouth, I know, like especially when we get hurt, right? That's when we just throw off the tool belt with all the tools and kick it down the street. Just ra-la-la-la, ra-la-la, ra-la-la, death, 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 you know? I get it too. This year, make it a point. You know, do I gossip a lot? Do I talk about people constantly behind their backs to other people? If you do that, stop. Not good. I'll tell you, I'll confess one that I know I got. I'm on the natch, right? I'm passionate. We know that. But I'm a reactive person. See, it's been a belief system of mine that used to work in the survival mode of life pre-Jesus, where if we were going to fight, man, I learned that I'm punching you first because then at least I might win because your bell's rung and I can come in, you know, whatever. I got options. That doesn't work. That doesn't work in healthy relationships. Physically or verbally. You see what I'm saying? Because just because I don't hit physically anymore doesn't mean I don't hit with my words. Right? You hurt my feelings. Here I come. That's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. The Bible says to be slow to speak. One thing I want you to take away from this is this year, let's pause. It's just a pause. It's a pause. I'm upset right now. Is this a trigger? Is this me? Is this stuff that, you know, or do I need to draw a boundary with this person? Do I need to, you know, can I do it in a way where I can honor God and hopefully keep this situation in love and calm and peaceful? If not, I may have to go get somebody else to come with me. Hey, I tried to come to this person and reconcile, but you're not having it. Usually, it'll work. Hey, Pastor Chris, I felt like we were talking and we were kind of in a little argument and your voice, your tone got up. It got up high and I felt like you were yelling at me. And, you know, and I come from trauma. You know, I come from trauma. When people yell at me, I shut down. Like, don't do that. That hurt me. See, that happened to me this year. And I'm grateful that this person came to me. And it was embarrassing because I have preconceived ideas of where I should be in Christ. And just like you do. How could I do that? How could I say that? How could I hurt somebody like that? So it's embarrassing. But I had to own it. And because I own it, then I can ask for forgiveness. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. Sometimes when I'm working stuff out, I get passionate and my voice starts to raise. And it sounds like I'm angry, but I'm not. But I can work on that. I have control over my mouth. I can watch my tone. You're right. You're right. Sorry. And by that happening, this person and I are closer now. They didn't run. I didn't run. We stayed together. And that's the thing. If you're new here in this community, I really want you to stay. But I need to warn you, okay? Those fears that you have, like, I don't really want to get plugged into church. I really don't want to start doing ministry because people are going to hurt me. Yes. You might get hurt because there's people here. But one thing that we have cultivated in this church and that we are continuing to cultivate in this church is that healthy conflict is good. And most human beings don't like it, me included. It's uncomfortable to make that phone call to try to reconcile with somebody that you feel like, you know, you got sinned against. You know, I got a leg to stand on here. Really? Okay. Great. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see the kingdom of God. You can address something in this community in love. You can draw a boundary with people. Hey, I feel like you're over in my lane right now. Like, stay in your lane, you know? Like, there's ways that we can deal with each other in love. You know, hey, I felt like, you know, felt like this. You give that person to go, oh, I didn't, you know, oh, I'm sorry. See, we don't do that, though. We take the offense and I think it's because we're like, we should just be able to figure this out. I should be able to go to prayer with this and just figure it out. Meanwhile, every time I see that person, I'll just go over here. I'll just sit on the other side of the church. Or maybe I'll just quit going to church. Maybe I'll go to another church. Avoiding conflict does things to us, and it's real. But I want you to be confident in knowing that this is a place where we need, this is God working out our salvation. It happens with us. We do ministry together, which means we're intimate together. We're doing life together, which means I'm probably going to piss you off. Why? Because I'm a sinner. I'm flawed. I got my own damage from my life that I'm working out with fear and trembling with God. But I'm definitely a sinner, you know? But if you show me grace and I show you grace and I accept you for who you are, even though we might have to have boundaries, you know, I learn how to navigate so we can live peaceably with each other. Because we're all broken. Once you understand that, you don't take it personally anymore. That's the thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Stop taking things personally. That's a huge one. If we can allow each other just to be our sinful selves getting sanctified in the Lord. Because even though we're sinners, there's so much beauty that comes out of you. I love being a pastor here. You're some of the most amazing people that are walking this planet. You're real. Yeah, I mean, you guys are cool. And you love God. You know, in a real way, not some fake way. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. Protect where you go. Be intentional about where you allow your feet to go. Here's the scripture, Proverbs 4:26-27. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but turn your foot from evil. Where you go matters. Some of you set yourself up thinking you have the restraint, or, you know, you have what it takes to be there. But I'm telling you, if Jesus can't be there with you, you shouldn't be there. If God isn't glorified and you can't share him freely, you got no business being there. And protect yourself, because you're not that strong. I'm not that strong that I would bait myself in any kind of situation. I protect myself in that way. It's good that you do that. So watch where your feet go. And that includes decisions in life. Am I taking a step in holiness that pleases God? Am I venturing into this business deal? Will it honor God? Am I going to be able to continue my intimacy with him in a good way? Is it going to enhance my life. There's decisions that you now make because you're a believer. You don't just roll into anything or roll over to here and do this with this person or roll over here and do this with this person because you are set apart. You're holy. It doesn't mean we're better or worse than anybody. It means we're intentional. You should have unsaved friends, by the way. I got to spend New Year's Eve with some friends. One is a professed Buddhist. One's a professed agnostic, you know. And one is, you know, whatever. I have those kind of friends. But I don't, like, do life. I'm not calling them for advice. I call Pastor Joe or I call one of my brothers. I need godly advice. I need godly wisdom. I need somebody who is soaked in the scriptures that can give me some wisdom, some wise counsel that can at least, if not give me new revelation, confirm what God's put on my heart. Confirm that I should move in this direction. So we should be intentional where we allow our feet to go. Next one is protect what you do. Be intentional about how you spend your time. And we talked a little bit about that. Proverbs 13:4 says this. The soul of the lazy one craves and gets nothing. But the soul of the diligent is made prosperous. Listen. I can, God, make your word come alive to me. Lord, change my life with your word. I've been waiting a long time. God, change my life with your word. Where are you? Where are you, Jesus? Where are you? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Ah, oh, diligence. Diligence. Again, I understand if you're scared of this. Been there. There's a version called NIV. Joe teaches out of it all the time. It's really easy to read. Get one. Get one. Well, I can't read, or I really have a hard time reading. Johnny Cash reads the New Testament on CD or... That's pretty cool. Okay? And James Earl Jones, Darth Vader, reads the whole Bible. So, I mean, that's another really cool voice. You know what I'm saying? And I listen to both. I don't just read the word. I listen to the word too. You know, I'll put the word on when I'm going to bed. And I'll fall asleep to the word and I'll wake up in the middle of the night. And you know what I mean? I started on John and it's in 1 Thessalonians. It's, but it's getting in. I know I'm asleep, but something's happening, right? I mean, I'm getting greedy with the word. You know what I mean? Get it in there. Lord Jesus, change me. I'm diligent. Why? Because I don't want to be the same man I was last year. I don't. I'm grateful for all that I have and all that God's done in my life. I am so grateful. But I am not satisfied with where I'm at in God. Does that make sense? I'm content, but I want more. I want to die more. I want to be more effective for God. I resolute to be diligent because this is the only way that I die. The word of God kills Chris Jones so that Jesus Christ can resurrect. It's the word. Last one, protect what you think. Be intentional about what you meditate on. And I know all of these kind of see, hear, think, you know, they all kind of coincide. But I know that you don't have to be watching anything to be meditating on the wrong thing. Take your time, brother. I am a skilled story creator. I have the knack to create chaos where none exists. So I used this scripture, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's why I chose this scripture today, because time after time, I've caught myself. I can catch myself doing it because I've worked at it. There you go again. There you go again. Getting yourself all knotted up over something that ain't even happened. Something that may or may not happen. You're projecting, Jonesy. Don't do that. So I take the situation or the person that I'm tripping on and I go, okay, stop. What's true about this person or this situation? What's true? What's honorable about this person or this situation? What's right? What's pure? What's lovely? What's commendable? If there's any excellence in this person or thing, let me find it now. And that's what I'll meditate on. And it might just be the goodness of God and his love and forgiveness to know that even if there is a situation that is volatile that you can't get your hands on right now, God is good. I don't have to wind up a story that might make me, when I get there, I can get there and go, hey, how's it going? I've been praying before I got here. I've been thinking about the good things that are in you. And the good things about how we can resolve this situation and come to a restoration in our relationship. You know, that's, way better. What I'm trying to eliminate is the chaos that we cause in our relationships. I'll just say it because it's easy. You married people, come on. You've been on your way home. Ooh, man, I swear. If he's breathing loud again tonight, that's it. You gotta breathe so loud. You know, or she says this. She walks through the door and she's like this. Then, oh, because I'm ready. What's up? You home? What's that? That is not love. That is not Christ. That's Chris Jones in his flesh. We do that, don't we? Now you got something to combat it. And this, see, that checklist that we just went down is our true and proper worship. That going down that protecting what I see, what I hear, what I say, where I go, what I meditate on, that is a reasonable thing for me to do, understanding that I carry the Holy Spirit. The power of God lives in me. The truth of the word. What I understand in this book has become my belief system. And this belief system has set me free. It set me free from Chris Jones. Hallelujah! And it set me free from you and circumstances. Not completely, because I'm a sinner and I'm sensitive, remember? Sensitive and passionate. But I understand more now that, don't take it personally when they are themselves. It's just them being themselves. That's the way people are. And if we can realize that, then we can forgive them a lot faster. And we may need to remove ourselves from the situation, because volatile, nobody calling you to be a doormat. Not Jesus, nobody. You can, staying in truth and love doesn't sit there and Like, no, no. Either you're going to drop the knife or I'm going to step back. And I can love you from over here. But I love you. And I know why you're stabbing me. Because you're hurt. So let me go to verse 2. Okay, we got a little time. Cool. Or is that 12:30 is when we end, huh? Well, we're done. Just as I planned. I got 5 more pages, guys. It's all you, God. Thank you. So listen. Listen, yeah, I'm going to wrap it up because it's 12:34. I'm 4 minutes over. I'm so sorry, guys. But listen, new year. It's a new opportunity to go deeper in Christ. And I don't want to end this service. If any of you are in this audience and you're not sure if you're saved, you're not sure if you're truly saved, you're truly born again. Listen, I want to pray with you this morning. But I want you to know something. It's not the prayer that saves you. So even if you said the prayer before, but you've been living a life that's obviously not godly, you may rededicate your heart to Christ this morning, or maybe it's even a real born again transformation that's happened, but it's God that does this to your heart. It's God that did it through his word. It's God that did it through the preaching, and you can feel a tug. Don't pass up this opportunity today. So, after somebody else answers their phone, today's the day of salvation. Salvation has come to this house today for you. So, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you would like to just rededicate your heart to him, just raise your hand and we'll pray this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So church, will you pray this prayer with me? And it's a profession of faith. We are professing our faith in God. So please repeat this after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And make your word come alive. So I thank you that today I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please, everybody that gave their life to Christ, please stick around. Be part of our community. We love you. Grow with us. We're not perfect, but we love Jesus. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for your church. Thank you for 2024. God, and the opportunity to enjoy you this year. Lord, I pray your highest and best over your church. Let them be light and life to a dark and dying world. But Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness in their life, blessing them with greater revelation and greater wisdom this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.